Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, as always, at my favorite place to spend Sunday morning, as well as to drop my kids off on Wednesday, and to see my son practice music on Thursdays. It's one of the best places in the world to be. Well, we're here at the end of Zeke Speaks in 2019 series, and we titled it Zeke Speaks in 2019, so at least we knew we'd finish it this year. So I think we should do that on all of them, our seven-part series that lasts 13 weeks. It's been a great series for me personally. I'm amazed week in and week out how perfect the Word of the Lord written over 2,000 years ago can apply so much to me every day here in 2019. I've also been reminded over this series how much I tend to act like the rebellious child that were the Lord's people back in Zeke's day. I'm daily and weekly reminded to heed the words of our Lord and turn to Him. As we wrap up today, I'm going to take us to a familiar place. We're going down to the river to pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to come into your house and to sing your praises and to hear your word and to be among your people and your spirit. Father, as we spend these next few minutes together, may we focus on your word and not the wonderful smells coming from the kitchen. That the message that we hear today not be the grumbling of our stomach, but of your word and your spirit. We say these things in your son's name, amen. I remember starting out this study and how freaked out I was reading Ezekiel. Nothing has really changed on that front. Even now, at the end of the book, the visuals reading this chapter bring to mind some very vivid things. Here we have Zeke again in a vision from the Lord. He starts out chapter 47 by saying, "A man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from underneath the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out to the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side." This morning I'm going to talk us through my study of this river of life. Water, and more specifically rivers, are a constant subject in the Bible, and it's no wonder, for in Jesus' time, and this still applies today in many parts of the world, water is literally life. We know that most populated areas of the world at the time of the Bible were centered around a body of water, be it a seaport, a lake, a river, a fresh spring, whatever. Where there was water, there was life. In our adult class, we've gone over several lessons on how important water was to the civilization at that time. In John chapter 7, it's recorded Jesus telling the people, hey, that's not in there. Trust me, John chapter 7 says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Whether you realize it or not, you and I are rivers as well. I'm going to ask three questions this morning to get us thinking about the waters that flow into, through, and out of us. My first question this morning is, what is the source of your water? There are many memorable moments for me speaking here at CCC. 3 or so years ago, I spoke a message, and one of the points that I made was about how listening to sports radio affects me. There's that slide I was looking for. One of the points I made was about how listening to sports radio affects me and can cause me to have a negative attitude. Well, of all my messages, this is the one that Lauren remembers. She likes to remind me we're in the car together and I'm listening to sports radio, how it negatively affects my attitude. She doesn't quote any of my other messages, just that one. But this example is still true. The waters in me are a complete reflection of what I am feeding myself, not my body, but my mind and my spirit. We are, whether we like it or not, a walking sponge. I'm sure many of us parents in the room have had the experience of seeing a glimpse of how our kids act around their friends when they let their guard down a little too much. This past weekend, Lucas and I were working in the garage. We're doing some cleaning that was and still is well overdue. We had just opened the garage door, and Lucas was standing under it, and I see him jump and make an exclamation. See, something had come off the garage door and hit him in the face. It may have been a spider, it may have been a leaf. But in that moment, Luke's guard was down, and he said the first thing that came to mind. He picked that moment to shout out, well, something that we don't normally say. Honestly, to me, the look on his face after he made that slip of the tongue, it was hard not to laugh, but I did the fatherly thing, and I called him on his, shall we say, choice of words. But we've all been there, right? Maybe not Betty, but the rest of us have been there. The guard comes down, and sometimes a word or two come out. And over time, as the kids have gotten older, I must admit that I'm not as disciplined in my choice of words as I once was. Now, I'd love to blame Luke's little slip-up on his middle school hooligan friends, but if I'm honest, he may have been acting like me. I may have been the source of that river. Has anyone noticed how people's speech and accents can sometimes change over time? Perhaps you're from an area that has a stronger accent and it really comes out when you're back home. Or maybe you've been obsessing over a television show that has a certain common language and those words start to creep into your vocabulary. We must realize that we are so easily influenced that what we pour into our minds and spirit has little choice but to come out. Whether it's allowing sports radio to ruin my attitude before the day gets started or changing the way I say mayonnaise, I am completely a product of my environment. This is why our Lord so frequently warns us of being too much a part of the world. He knows that what we see, what we hear, and what we pay attention to affect us. We're called to keep our eyes on Him, to keep His word on our tongue, and to have our hearts open to Him. When we do these things, He is able to provide us with His fresh water. When we focus on Him through our relationships, through our entertainment, our learning, the reward is that we get to be, as Jesus said in John 7, rivers of flowing water. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not challenging the fact that as a believer, that very living water can somehow dry up and disappear. No matter how much sports radio or crappy reality television I watch, I will always be a child of God and have His Spirit in me. But I do not believe that I can be as effective a missionary for His kingdom if the source of my river is 10% God and 90% Dallas Cowboys. I can have a great conversation about Zeke and Dak and my thoughts on the return of Jason Witten, but when I come across a friend that is hurting, will I have a comforting word from Scripture ready? Will I be able to be a godly example to my son in my choice of words? What is the source of your water? In Zeke 47, it started out, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from underneath the threshold of the temple. That was the source. In John, Jesus says that He is the source of the river of life. There is no question that the contents of your river are a reflection of your focus, your source. Verse 3, Zeke continues, as the man went eastward with a measuring line of his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and for those of you who are wondering, it's about 5.5 football fields. Measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. Measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim, a river that no man can cross. So in the span of about a mile, a little over a mile, we've gone from a trickle to a river that no man can cross. Has anyone ever seen the beginnings of a flash flood? For some odd reason, I'm fascinated by the power of water. And so, as is warranted on YouTube, they start suggesting things that I watch. So I've actually spent way too long watching videos of flash floods. I know I'm strange. But, you know, when I started this series, or I started the study, I knew exactly the one that I wanted to show you all to make a point. So here we go. 2 minutes, bear with me.
Tell it's a flash flood because of the way it is.
Oh.
I'm kind of nervous standing out here in the bottom of this gully.
That's cool.
A bunch of water.
That's cool.
That's a bunch of sticks, right?
And trees.
You know, this gully is like 100 feet wide, right?
No, that's cool. Straight in the culvert. Nailed it.
I know, I'm a nerd. But did you notice how the beginning of the stream, while moving quickly, was relatively innocuous? But by the end of the video, the culvert, that by the way is about 6 feet tall, could not even contain all of the water and debris. My second question this morning is, what is our speed? I think that it's obvious that Bob and I are pretty different when we speak. I'm a little bit more the beginning part of the river. You might say that I'm a trickle. Bob, on the other hand, well, sometimes I feel like that culvert, and I can barely contain everything Bob is throwing at me. He is flowing at a whole different rate. Now, neither is right or wrong. The water is getting where it needs to go, but we've got a different speed. The important part is that we're flowing. The Grand Canyon is still getting deeper every day. It's just through trickles as opposed to raging rivers. What is your speed? We see Jesus teaching through calm parables that seem easy to understand. Then we see Jesus overturning tables and clearing rooms. Even Jesus had different speeds. Last week, we were heading to my mom's for lunch after church, and we passed a man on the side of the road. He had a megaphone, and he was preaching. Lucas pointed this out. That man felt called to be at a different speed than me. It doesn't make him right and me wrong. No doubt that there are people out there that need to hear a message from a loudspeaker while sitting at a red light. It's not my speed, but who am I to judge? Everyone has their own speed. It's tough for me to keep from comparing myself to others. I think that they're a stronger speaker or a better prayer warrior, a more talented singer, a more mature Christian. It doesn't matter. That's their speed. In our morning class, we've been learning about the Dead Sea and what makes it so deadly. Did you know that the Dead Sea is the lowest elevation in the world? The surface of the lake, it isn't a sea, is over 1,400 feet below sea level. But what makes this body of water deadly? It's the lack of water movement. We're getting ready to move into mosquito season, and what will we hear on the news? No standing water in the backyard. Our spiritual life is not different. Jesus does not call us to be a lake of living water. We must have movement for us to be effective. If I turn off the supply to my river, at some point, I'm going to run dry and not have anything else to give. This is why we have to constantly resupply our river with the Lord. Through praise, prayer, fellowship, you have to keep the supply coming in so that you can keep the river flowing through you. One of the questions I asked myself this week, I said, Jeremy, you think you're a trickle. What if that's because you're only taking in a trickle? What would happen if you increased your supply? Would your speed increase? Would your river flow wider and faster? And I got an immediate answer. Of course it does. Every time I get up here to speak, my spiritual impact is huge compared to my day-to-day interactions. Why am I effective? Well, I spend the whole week with the source wide open. I have study Bibles and prayer time. I'm listening to others speak on the subjects. I am taking in a huge amount of the word. And what comes out? Generally, about a 4,000-word essay. Now, if you told me next week not to change anything about my week and go about my day-to-day, and then on Friday and Saturday sit down and apply my spiritual life lessons in 4,000 words, I'd probably spend hours staring at a blank page. But when I increase my source, I increase my speed. I'm not trying to tell you what speed to go, but I'm very confident that if you want to flow more, touch more, affect more, we must start by turning up the dial on the input. Some days you're a trickle, some days you're a raging river. Sounds like a country song. Just make sure that you're not stagnant, because that can be deadly. My last question this morning for us is this. Who are our vessels? Should have spent more time on my slides. All right, Zeke continues. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. Verse 7, when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from the En Gedi to the En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruits fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. What a correlation to the Word of God and the world today. We are living water, and oftentimes we are flowing into the Dead Sea. It seems that we're surrounded by bad news. If you want to see America's version of the Dead Sea, perhaps we need to turn on a news network and watch. We're surrounded daily with news of terrible, unthinkable acts that the human race is doing to each other. But we are living water. We're able to flow into the dead parts and bring life there. As we've seen during our 9:30 class, even in the midst of a desert, fresh water can bring about lush, green areas full of life. When we take time to ensure that the source of our river is the Lord, we are able to bring light and life to the dead areas. And we don't have to look far to see evidence of this. Sally Frazier, Sarah Metter, are both, and the rest of our educators in their classrooms have brought life to so many. They tell stories of having rooms full of spiritual life in what can sometimes be a barren landscape. Jessica Weaver and Sarah Miller are bringing life to whole neighborhoods, cities, and countries. The Corbetts have taken Jesus to their neighbors, not through preaching, but through loving. Who is your vessel? Whose life is sustained by your river? Now, if you're like me, you're humble and ignorant of your impacts on those around you. I certainly don't feel like I'm a difference maker most days. But make no mistake, at the edges of your river, there are people, some that you notice and some that you don't, that are living from your fresh water. I've been surprised by people that tell me that something that I've said or done has touched them, given them encouragement. I'm not talking about a sermon. I'm not talking about when times that I've been intentionally trying to spread the word. I'm talking about times when I've just been doing life, walking in the dust of my rabbi, following the steps of Jesus. I don't always see the way that my actions touch others. I've talked about a time that a young lady that I took a chance on at work invited me to her one-year sobriety celebration. Unbeknownst to me, I had hired her at 1 month sober. I see the times when my kids bring their friends that are having trouble to our house because they trust us to provide a safe space. There are people that are riding on your waters, staying pace with you, and you are keeping them afloat. There are people that you may or may not see that are filling their jugs from your river so that on the days that they need a fresh drink, it is there for them. We can't help but have an impact on those around us. Your river is flowing through your work, through school, through your neighborhood. Your river is flowing through your house. In business management, we learn about the concept of influence. You learn that influence is not something that you can turn on and off. You are always influencing others. The only thing you have a choice about is what direction the influence is moving. This is even more important in our spiritual life because we are rivers of living water. For some, we are the only source of Jesus they are getting. Sometimes I forget that other people aren't going to church on Sunday, that they don't have fellowship with believers throughout the week. They're not seeking out more Jesus. To them, I'm the only Jesus they know. I have to make sure that my source of my river is focused. I have to be content with my speed and have knowledge that no matter what I think, I am the living water to more people than I realize. We talk about what makes our little band of misfits special here at CCC. And I think that it is really seen in this vision. We are a mighty river. We all have different speeds, but when I look out across this group, I'm able to see the green trees, the life-filled waters that surround each of you. We may not have hundreds in attendance every Sunday morning, but the life that is sustained through the rivers that flow from this house are numbers higher than we can imagine. But we have no time to rest. The enemy is constantly trying to dam up our flow, contaminate our waters, and dry up the green valleys. I may be content with my speed today, but the Lord has given me a glimpse of what is possible when I turn up my source, when I focus on Him and follow His word to be a river of life. We're getting ready to sing Living Water as our final song. As we do this, spend the next few minutes focusing on the source of our river. Pray for a flood of fresh water and enjoy the worship of our Lord.